Your arsehole is going to be the size of a cloud pocket before you know it.
I think I'm overacting.
No, nothing like that. We're just going for a different style. More people die annually than weekly.
I've not seen you since.
Since you became Prime Minister in the first place.
I have never been to Norway.
The emphasis is on the extreme.
You're going to masturbate a tramp, though.
A great big throbbing coconut filled
box. This woman is in distress.
I know, but she normally wears slacks.
No, you have to guess.
Okay.
Two cunty Norway cats are that.
I can still hear you.
No snow death.
What one goes well with pizza?
Warning, this podcast may contain offensive material. It is
the Kingsmill Phlebotomy.
Uniquely mixing comedy with slightly too much music, the Kingsmill Phlebotomy was one of the first English language podcasts, and it paved the way for comedy as we know it.
Hello, I'd like to complain about this telephone directory.
What's the problem you have with it?
My name's wrong in it. It keeps happening. The year before last, my telephone was listed, but it was under the name, Twonk McGonkey.
Is that not correct, sir?
No, of course it isn't. My name's William.
I'll make a note of that then. William McGonkey.
No, not McGonkey. Underwood. William Underwood.
Are you sure that's your entry?
Well, it's my number.
Very sorry to hear that, sir.
But that's not the end of it. Last year, my number was filed in the business section under Nurge Paterkin's Knocking Shop.
Was that incorrect too?
Yes, it was.
They must have a glitch on the system.
Well, a mighty big glitch, as this year they've published my telephone number in bold on a page of its own under the word thighs.
Am I to assume that's incorrect too?
Of course it's wrong.
What is the correct number?
The number's correct. Everyone got that right. In fact, I can't even use my home phone because people keep telephoning me and asking me about thighs.
Okay, so you want some sort of description about what you do with thighs then?
No, I want my name next to my telephone number and that's it.
And thighs after that?
No, I just want my name and my number.
Oh, right. Well, I'm afraid you're going to have to phone the telephone directory company.
I thought this was the telephone directory company.
No, sir. This is a laundrette.
But, I got the number from the back cover.
I think that explains everything.
Hello. I'm Samantha Bullock, and I will be guiding you through the highs and the lows of the Kingsmill Phlebotomy's first 50 years, featuring brand new interviews, some rare comedy gold, and some far more common comedy tin.
I'd been writing comedy for years. Then I just thought, instead of giving these sketches away to comedians with little to no success, why don't I just do them? You know, I can have little to no success myself.
Well, I didn't like the early scripts, but I got involved because it was the only way I could convince the parole board to let me out early.
I was promised fame. I'm still waiting for that.
Well, you see, I owed Scott a favour. I'd been sleeping in a car park at the time, just under a cardboard box, and he came along and gave me a cup of soup, which was really nice of him, actually. So I thought, yeah, why not?
Well, I've always been interested in comedy, and Scott said, why not come and give it a go? It'll be fun. So I did, and there was no fun.
The early shows, most of which are sadly lost, broke no new ground. Labelled by most critics as hard to follow, they have dated badly.
I don't really want to think about the early shows. In fact, it's taken a lot of time and therapy to forget about the early shows. Could we please talk about something else?
This rare clip was recovered and privately restored by a classic comedy collector who instantly regretted his actions. This episode is from the first series of the Kingsmill Phlebotomy and has not been heard in 49 years.
Have you ever thought about getting your teeth lightened?
No, I like them the way they are.
I could remove them.
What for?
A small fee.
What will you do with them?
They'd look great on my piano.
What'll you do with the keys?
Leave them in Florida where they belong. Come on, open up, give me another go. D1, D2, D3.
You have sunk my battleship.
Do you have those statistics, Doctor?
Forget about them, you've got some pretty good statistics of your own.
Doctor. Doctor!
Silence while I'm kissing you.
But Doctor, that's not me.
Oh, so it's not. How do you do?
Fine, thanks.
You know, you should really get that filling looked at.
Is there a problem?
No, it's very nice. It's a shame not to flaunt it. Who brought that cymbal in here?
It was me, man.
I thought you were more of a tambourine man.
I wanted to ask, man, what did you think of my latest album?
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
What does that mean?
Mr. Edwards to see you, sir.
Yes, Mr. Edwards. Do come in and take a seat. What a lovely big smile you have. I think I need the big drill. Is that better, Mr. Edwards? Come on, there's no need to be like that. Give my love to Anthony Hopkins.
My tooth really hurts. I don't know what to do.
Can you say ah? Then join a choir, impressing no one here. Lunch break. A nice pork sandwich. Dad on the rare side. A nice cheese sandwich.
Don't you mean cheese?
Have you smelled it?
Cheese.
A nice corned beef sandwich.
What's the matter, Doctor?
Someone left it in the tin.
That's lunch break over with.
I think it's for the best.
Can you help me, Doc?
Try loosening your pants.
Thanks for that.
Anytime, miss. Nursey, it's just me and you at last.
Not quite, sir.
I'm here!
Oh, yes.
And me.
So you are.
And me.
And us.
Anyone else?
We're here.
Nursey, it's just the 22 of us at last. What should we do?
Football match.
Okay, here's my football.
And here's mine.
That's a pretty good match. That'll teach you for not enjoying my puns.
What a dreadful waste of human life.
You call that a life?
I like them.
You should have heard what they said about you.
How dare they? Give me that gun.
I heard banging.
Good, that means there's nothing wrong with your ears. We're alone at last, my dear. No, you know what? I'm alone at last. Where's she gone? A note. E flat, if I'm not mistaken. A letter. The letter Q, if I'm not mistaken. A cow. And she's left a message on it. Gone to get milk. What am I to do now? Well, have you ever worked as a dental nurse before? That's great. Can you stand straight away? Come on, there's no need to be like that. I don't treat you like a piece of meat. Now I need to find myself a new nurse.
I'm here about the nurse position.
What took you so long? Please, take a seat.
That's okay. I already have one.
Take a stand, then.
Okay. I will not take a seat.
That's more like it. Now, before we start, tell me, what's the weather like out there?
It's hard to tell. It's too foggy.
Interview commencing 1300 hours. What's your name?
Don't know.
Where you from?
Pass.
Do you have any references?
Haven't a clue.
Favorite food?
Yes.
Do you know where we are?
I forget.
When can you start?
Immediately.
You're hired. Welcome to the firm.
What shall I do first?
Find me a nurse.
I'm here about the nurse position.
Do you have any references?
I'll vouch for him.
And do you have any recommendations?
To Kill a Mockingbird's quite good.
Have you been in this sort of position before?
What position is that?
This one. Or this one. Or even this one. Oh no, there goes the truss.
Hello? The what? The whom? The when? Well, I never... The dental inspectors are coming round.
That's nothing to worry about. We have perfect teeth.
No, they inspect dentists.
You have perfect teeth, too.
Quickly, everyone into the cupboard.
You don't have a cupboard.
Quickly, everyone get into the window.
I don't want to go in there.
Shut it and get in.
Nice meeting you.
And you.
Farewell.
Adieu.
Goodbye, Doctor. I will treasure our time together.
Or 2 minutes of it.
I shall remember you for the rest of my life.
Or 2 minutes of it. What?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
We'll see about that.
I heard banging.
Yes. I hate running gags. Who are you?
I'm the dental inspector.
My teeth are perfect. Look.
I hate running gags too.
But you missed me.
No, I shot myself.
You got out of that one.
It wasn't only the cast who didn't like the early shows. Most of the audience didn't like them either. But we kept knocking them out. Somehow we managed to get 700 done in our first year alone.
How did you make so many?
Complete disregard to quality.
After the initial mixed responses to the first series, things began to turn around at the beginning of the second.
I think the invention of the internet helped a great deal, because hardly anyone listened before that.
Changes had also been made to the show's format.
We went from having a little bit of music to a little bit too much music. And that's where the magic kicked in.
why you panic when you hear that noise.
Teaming with Ed Field, known professionally as The Enigma, which shot the podcast to fame.
Ed? Who's Ed? Do I know Ed?
I don't think I know him, do I?
Ed. Ed. Is he the one with the glasses?
Ed's shy. He's really, really shy. I've never actually met him. When we're composing music for the series, we communicate by writing in steamed-up windows with our fingers. There was a time I forgot that he was reading it from the other side and we ended up with a load of backwards music. We still used it, though. Made more sense than the sketches.
I met him once, but it was very, very dark. Very dark. And foggy as well. That was actually coming from his mouth, which is very unusual. Not really many facial features, other than the mouth spewing fog and his two tiny, tiny little beady eyes that just fix you with this strange, almost menacing stare. He's wearing this long cape and, well, I don't really want to say too much about it, but where there should have been hands, it's more like lobster claws. I'm really not sure how you can play the guitar when you're that deformed, but obviously he's triumphed over adversity. It's, and then there was this puff of smoke and it's nothing other than a pair of black Reebok classics, which I still have to this day.
With the musician linking the new, more coherent sketches, the King's North Lobotomy began to flourish.
Welcome to the Opin News, today's top headlines and what you think about them, with your host, Janet Salt. You like her.
So, top stories tonight. The shamed game show host who you love and liked admits he was wrong. Too little, too late. The person you liked from that TV show, which is rubbish but you enjoy, has won the final. He is giving all the money to charity. You are pleased. And a place in another country that you were never going to visit has been flooded. No English people have died. You are indifferent at best. Now here is Johnny Vinegar with the film reviews.
This week's top films are David and the Robo Chimp, you hate this. Dr. Venom's Venom, you didn't understand this. And Susie's Narcoleptic Slumber Party 4, again, you hate this. But you fancy the female lead.
Thank you, Johnny. Now over to Amy Quick for an outside report of illegal immigrants, which you are worried about.
Some new facts about the illegal immigrants that you are concerned about. Here, proof that they are nothing to worry about. You are relieved. Janet, back to you.
Thank you, Amy. You hate me.
Thank you, I do.
Now the weather with Lucifer Donk. You think he's gay.
Hello! Tomorrow it's going to be sunny here. This pleases you. And it'll be raining over there. This also pleases you as you don't like them. There will also be rain here. You are uninterested.
News just in. You're excited. Let's go back over to Amy Quick.
Breaking news. It turns out these facts about immigrants are fake. You are worried again. Janet, back to you.
Thank you, Amy. You still hate me.
Thank you. I do.
That is all we have time for today. You think that was quick. We'll be back tomorrow. You're not bothered. This has been the Opin News, the only place for today's headlines and your point of view. You liked this.
really should meet him. He's written some wonderful books. Truly wonderful.
So Rupert was telling me.
The man has a real gift when it comes to the English language, which is surprising for an American. He could make anything sound eloquent.
Ah, really? He sounds wonderful.
Oh, speak of the devil. Here he is now.
Good evening. Forgive me as I have just this moment returned from the water closet. Having chosen to relieve myself from the discomfort of pressure pushing against the inner wall of my bowel. After excavating the waste matter and performing a swift visual assessment of the stool, I bade it goodbye and ejected it from the plumbing system. But to my surprise, the item in question was far more buoyant than initially suspected. A second flush was, of course, immediately forthcoming, but still the feculence rose to the surface. I chose to dissipate anal nougat with some gentle agitation with lavatorial brush before attempting the third removal, but instead of breaking the item up, this action seemed only to spread it out. Not being a man of much technical knowledge in the plumbing department, I have chosen to abandon my worry and to beg of you, my genial host, to source the correct technique for removing the wolf bait.
Hey! Who left the floater?
Soon the King's North lobotomy were the toast of the town.
I loved Fame, loved it. Scott was really the only one that it affected badly. His OCDs got very out of hand. He'd touch his head on each wall 14 times before every take. But for me, no, it was fantastic. I got more cock than you can shake a stick at.
I was promised Fame. Still waiting for that.
Just started getting pants through the post. Lots of pants. Lots of knickers. Women's, men's. I think the older women, mostly. Yeah.
I could hardly go anywhere without women just screaming things at me, like, let me have your babies and things like that, which is... I mean, is that physically possible? I'm a man, I can't give birth.
Larry.
Hey up, Charlie.
Larry, we hear you're doing some sort of newfangled radio show down south.
Yeah, that's right. It's been rather successful, actually.
Oh, you know what I'd like to hear back on radio? A bit of variety. Remember all those wonderful variety shows that used to have on radio 30 years ago?
No.
Oh, it was marvellous. A nice bit of variety. There's none of this entertainment you get today. There's not even remotely entertaining about it, but it were clean.
That sounds, lovely, yeah.
So what do you do in your radio show? A bit of a song and a dance? I bet you're quite a crooner, aren't you?
Well, no. There's a bit of music in it.
Ah, I said you're a crooner.
I don't sing in it. It's comedy.
Comedy?
Yeah, sketches mainly.
Are they clean?
Like, they are.
After 14 series in 10 years, the King's North lobotomy were flying high. But things were suddenly to take a change for the worst.
Hello, class. I'm your new form teacher, Mr. Seamus. I'll tell you a little bit more about the school. I know you're all nervous, but I'm here to help. I can tell you where to go and what to do on your first day a little bit later. First things first, I'm going to take the register. When I say your name, just say, yes, sir. Okay? Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Josephine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sayobahan? What? That's not a real name. Who's called Sayobahan?
Me, sir.
Sayobahan? Really? Get to f***. Did your parents want you to be bullied or something? Because it's going to happen, you know. There's probably a few people having to hold back from bullying you right now. That's not even a real name. Real people are called Andrew and Josephine and
Siobhan.
Yeah, Siobhan. But Sayobahan, That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Oh, wait a minute. Sanjeev?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank God.
I'm not sure where it went wrong. New members joined, people left.
It seemed pretty obvious to me it went wrong because I wasn't in it enough. I should have been in every sketch, playing every character. It should have been Robinson Larry Bottomy.
I was promised fame. I'm still waiting for that.
I'll tell you exactly where it went wrong. It was that f***ing movie.
Sailor Surprise was the King's North Lobotomy's first outing into celluloid.
F*** knows where the script came from. I didn't write it.
I found that script on a bus. No one came to claim it, so it's legally mine.
Sailor Surprise was rushed into production in the summer of 1982. It was shot, edited, and put into cinemas in the amazingly short period of 8 days.
Why are we dressed as sailors, Larry?
Because we're hiding, Scott.
Hiding from who?
I'm hiding from you, and you're hiding from you too.
What if someone asked me something only a sailor would know?
Like what?
I don't know. I'm not a sailor.
Then they wouldn't know either.
But what if they are a sailor?
Then what would they need to ask for?
Oh, right you are. Help! Help! I'm drowning!
But you're still on deck.
Oh, sorry. False alarm.
Quickly! Can you help me? My daughter, she's drowning.
I think it's a bit late to teach her to swim.
Can't you get a lifeguard or something?
Are you a sailor?
No.
Then I don't know.
What if I were a sailor?
Then you wouldn't ask.
How is this supposed to help my daughter?
What daughter?
She... Oh no, she's drowning, never mind.
The movie's rapid turnaround clearly took its toll on the production values, and as a direct result, the movie was a national and international flop.
We re-edited it. It was over 4 hours long anyway. So we cut out all the gags that didn't work. That left us with about 14 minutes. So then we padded it out with some hardcore pornography and titled it Up the Cabin Boy.
The re-release broke box office records as it was the only movie in cinema history where 100% of the audience demanded their money back.
It was possibly a combination of the non-existent budget, no respect for the production at all. It was just a disaster.
Well, the problem was that we used cardboard boats on set, and cardboard doesn't do so well in water.
I was glad I wasn't in the movie. After I read the script, I developed a sort of blindness, which the doctor said was psychosomatic. There's still times when I blank out thinking about it. Oh, Christ, it's happening again.
I thought the original 4-hour, 33 minutes and 27 second cut was actually better. But some asshole came along and edited the f*** out of it and ruined it.
Disappointed with the failure of their first film, Larry turned to alcohol, making his second interview on Chinwag with Charlie a memorable one.
Hey up, Larry.
Hey up. F***ing tea.
Now, let's just cut to the chase, shall we? Because you know I've been a very big fan of yours since the beginning. Remember, I said they should stop all this variety nonsense on radio and do some filthy sketches. Remember? I said that I did. But how do you react to reviews of the film you were just in?
Reviews? I s*** them.
They were all very negative, and I read all of them. Here, let's have a look at this one. Up the Cabin Boy is not only one of the worst films I've ever seen, it's one of the worst things in the world. Even when compared against wars, pestilence and natural disasters. What do you say to that?
Have you seen the film?
Me? Well, yes, I have.
What did you think of it?
Well, the, was very, and it was all, yeah, great, well, good, no, it was terrible. Beginning to end terrible. I had to watch most of it through my fingers.
What do you know, eh? Hey? What do you know about movies? Huh? Have you ever been in a movie? No. Well, I have. A whole movie. Yeah? Yeah? A whole movie. And I directed part of it too. Yeah? A whole shot. Yeah? One whole shot. And that was cut because I stole it from the archers. But that's not the point!
The bubble had burst. After a second attempt at movie making that proved to be even less fruitful than the first, the King's North Lobotomy went their separate ways.
Well, after the movie flopped, I started receiving death threats from my family, so I moved to North America, joined a reservation, and changed my name to Chief Wright Sitting Down. But then a few years ago, the government was kind enough to offer me a new identity, so I've come back to the UK. I'm still directing, traffic mainly. It's not as glamorous, but the pay's better.
Oh, well, I've had every success since the podcast. I now own the car park that I used to sleep in, and it's going really well, really very well.
I waited for a long time for the phone to ring, and then it got cut off, and then we had the whole legal thing with Gareth's lobotomy, and Scott didn't like that, and he didn't like the amount of porn that I was putting into it, and the one-man show, it's not gone very well.
I've been so successful, I find that I only have to work once a year now. I suppose you could call it seasonal work of a kind. It does involve a fake beard and a red hat. But, well, the audience, they love me.
Well, since the podcast, I've got more cock than I can handle, bags of drugs, and I'm getting paid for it. I'm a prostitute now.
I'm still working with Larry. Luckily, it's only once a year. Unfortunately, that doesn't make up for the fact I have to dress as a f***ing elf.
But now, 21 years later, the King's North Lobotomy have decided to put their debts aside and reunite to do a sketch to celebrate their 50th anniversary.
Lots of plans for this building site. Lots and lots of plans. If anything, we're brimming over with plans for this site. And you can rest assured this location is going to make us a lot of money.
Forgive me if I'm not up to speed, but what exactly do you plan to build here?
Flats. We're going to build 100 to 120 budget starter homes and studio flats right here on this very site.
Flats? In the centre of town?
Yes, right in the centre of town.
It's a bit of a waste, isn't it?
How do you mean?
Well, being in the centre of town, don't you think the site is more suited to something community-based?
No, you're right. You're very right. Let's have a look. How about we turn it into a nightclub? Yeah? A great big pumping nightclub. We'll have lasers and banging tunes and kids will come from miles around to dance like that. We'll go on to early hours of the morning. It'll be fantastic.
A nightclub?
Yeah. What's up? Don't like dancing?
Well, it's just a nightclub will be rather noisy. We don't want to upset the neighbours, do we?
Fine, okay. How about another shopping centre? That'll bring new businesses into the town.
But most of the shops we have in our current shopping centre are empty. What makes you think this will attract anyone new?
Okay, how about a hotel?
A hotel?
Yeah, a giant four-star hotel. It'll be fantastic. Luxury rooms, fine dining. It'll bring no end of tourists in.
Tourists?
Yeah.
You mean, like, foreigners?
Well, mostly, yeah.
Do we really want more foreigners here?
That's why we're going to sell the hotel to an eccentric millionaire. He can live there for the rest of his life by himself until he's driven mad by his own loneliness.
Mm-hmm. Then what's going to happen?
We'll wait 5 to 10 years for the building to fall into disrepair and then sell it to the highest bidder.
Oh, no.
It'll be me.
And what are you going to do?
I'm going to knock it to the ground and turn it into a big game reserve and raise zebras.
How is this going to make us any money?
We'll let people shoot them.
I don't approve of hunting.
It'll be with water pistols.
I don't approve of wasting water.
They'll be empty.
I don't approve of this idea.
Then we can change it. Let's turn it into a car park.
But we've got 3 car parks.
Not a car park, then. A swimming pool.
I can't swim.
You're not invited.
I can't swim.
No women.
I can't swim either.
No people.
No people?
No, just dogs.
A swimming pool for dogs?
Don't like that idea? Fine, how about an abattoir?
Abattoir?
Not an abattoir, a brothel.
A brothel?
No, I tell you what, let's do nothing with it. Nothing whatsoever.
You guys happy with that?
Yeah, it's okay.
You have been listening to Gareth Owen Williams, Ginny Walters, Alexandra Bond, Lawrence Robinson, Glenn Burton, Samuel Marlowe, and me, Samantha Bullock. The script was written by Scott Kingsnorth with additional material by the cast. Music was composed and performed by Ed Field with lyrics by Scott Kingsnorth and Lawrence Robinson. Production and direction by Scott Kingsnorth and Samuel Marlowe. If you have enjoyed this, please find the Kingsnorth Lobotomy on Facebook. See you next time!